Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين. That is all unqualified praise is due to Allah, and after that all unqualified praise is due to Allah. All praise is due to Allah who sent down upon us His book most clear. الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن التقويم. Praise be to Allah who created the human being in the most excellent mold. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. I've been open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment. There is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ. His is the kingdom. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ. To Him is due all unqualified praise. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرُ. In His hand is all good. وَهُوَ عَلَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And He has power over each and everything. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله. We bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation or embarrassment, that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his slave servant, his last and final prophet. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد. O Allah, send your prayers, your peace, and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad, وعلى آله, and upon his family, وصحبه, and upon his companions. Ajma'in, all of them. Wa ya ayyuhal muslimun, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, wa jumu'ah mubarak. Amma ba'd, a'uzu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. La khalqu samawati wal ard. It's not la. La khalqu. La khalqu. La means no. So you make it long, and you negate it. La khalqu samawati wal ard akbaru min khalqi nasi walakin aktharu nasi la ya'lamun. Sadaqallahu al-azim, Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. This is the 57th verse of Surah 40, chapter 40. and an expression of it is the creation of the heavens and the earth. And then when it says lachalko, it means surely, surely the creation of the heavens and the earth. The lachalko, creation of the heavens and the earth, is greater than the creation of mankind. But most people do not know. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. A hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it says, Muawiyah bin Jahima radiallahu anhu, he reported that he came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and he said, O Messenger of Allah, O Messenger of Allah, no, pardon me, it said Muawiyah ibn Jahima. So Jahima is his, it must be his father. So Jahima came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and said, O Messenger of Allah, I intend to join the expedition, and I seek your counsel. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Do you have a mother? He said, yes. The Prophet said, stay with her, for paradise is beneath her feet. Pardon me. Some sound issues here. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the 10th segment on the subject, manhood, masculinity, and the woman. In brief, the using 5740 as the foundation for our khutbah today is in part based on the fact that we have established, at least in reasoning and plausibility, the fact that the woman is a type. The woman is a personification of the universe itself. The woman is a personification of the universe itself. And very important for us to grasp that statement is not rhetorical, it's not poetic, that is, in its truth and in its function, the function of the statement. The function of the statement is not to be rhetorical, to not to be poetic, not to be sentimental. It's a statement of haqq. It's a statement of reality, okay? And so our conversation goes on from that, taking that in part as a foundation, that is the fact that the woman is not just emblematic, not just symbolically, not just rhetorically, not just metaphorically, not just analogically an embodiment and personification of the universe. Taking that as a reality, then you can translate that into other aspects when that is addressed, keeping it in the frame that we are speaking about, and that is manhood, masculinity, and the woman. So then the woman is a type of the heavens and the earth. The woman is a type of the heavens and the earth. If it's that important, you should take it outside. If that conversation is that important, take it outside. That shows you right there. They're not even listening to me. Yeah, and there's a men's group meeting tomorrow. Be sure to be there so that you can do what men are supposed to do. From 7 to 8:30 tomorrow. I prefer not to go into that mode. I try to avoid it. but I guess I just have to. So let me take a breath, get back. Maybe some people think when I'm standing up here, I'm just talking, just so that I can be heard or so I can, whatever, look good or pontificate. This is serious. And every distraction, I take it as from Shaitan, whether you intend that or not. It's Shaitan's plan. And you can be a door for Shaitan if you don't pay attention. Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, I'm going to go ahead and give this lesson. I'm going to get back to the lesson. I need this to calm down. You know, my brother and I, we work out together at the gym. We're there now. I have to talk like this for me to come back to where I need to be. So Maurice and I, we go to the gym. And he takes me through my paces. And so, but I had his Apple Watch, right? And so the Apple Watch tells me what my heart rate is. And I let him know that, okay, now I can't take it too far past this particular heart rate, you know. This, so when we get so far, and then he say, check your watch. So then I check my watch, and he said, okay, well, let me show you what you can do. You can bring your heart rate down. So we did a little something. They said, check your watch. They check your watch. So then my heart rate's back where it needs to be. And then, okay, so let's go. All right? So sometimes you have to have a little exercises to get back to where you are. But please, don't make the mistake of underestimating how serious I am about what I'm doing here. And if you can't stand that, you should stay away from me. You should stay away from me. Because I don't play with that. I feel my top lip trembling, and like, I don't like that. I don't like to be there. But I'm going to defend what Allah ordered for me to do, and it doesn't matter who has to be taken out. I hope that's clear. It should be clear after 40-something years. All right. So, let's go back. So in terms of the woman is not just a type, not rhetorical, it's not poetic, not sentimental, it's reality. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that لَخَلْقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ خَلْقِ النَّاسِ وَلَّكِنَ أَكْثَارُ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, he's saying to us with that translation, the woman is a bigger matter than the man. The woman is a bigger matter than the man. It's a mistaken notion on the part of males to think that the woman is subordinated in her importance to him. And without spending a lot of time going into how do we get to that frame of mind, just understand it's a false notion. And we suffer so much as society, as men, and our women suffer because of that misconception. And that misconception being embedded in our socialization process, in the culture, you can call it chauvinism or what have you. And that's, you know, that's probably the proper name for it. However, the reality is otherwise. The woman, as a phenomena, as a feature, as an actor in creation and in society, and as a promoter of civilization. In fact, that's her very name, the name for her class, and Nisa means the socializer, the civilizer. So we have socialization and civilization because of the woman. We have culture because of the woman. Okay? So that's one part. That's to explain foundationally why we take this particular direction and how that verse relates to what we've said. Now, in the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we read, the man came to the Prophet and said, I intend to go on an expedition. He was actually talking about jihad. And we'll say more about that hadith in a moment. He was talking about jihad. I want to go on the jihad. I want to go fight. And the Prophet asked him, do you have a mother? He said, yes. The Prophet said, stay with her, for paradise is beneath her feet. So we know that, obviously, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew something about this man who is asking, and he's probably much younger. If we looked into Fathi al-Bar, which gives the explanation of the reason for different hadith and the context for different hadith, we'd probably find he's probably a young boy, probably a young man, probably at an age where he could go fight. But then also Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam grasping the full context of the situation, do you have a mother? A part of that is, well, if and especially if you're the only son to the mother and you go there and you get killed, what kind of situation is she going to be in? I'm elaborating without having done that particular study, but that's a part of the rationale. But a bigger point under this is that he says, stay with her, for paradise is beneath her feet. This provides a very important context for the meaning of this. When I say the meaning, is like, and how should we act in the presence of this hadith? I want you to understand that that's what meaning means. Meaning means, and what should I do because of this that has just been said? When you understand the meaning, then that means you know how to act to line yourself up with the object of that statement. The Prophet said, paradise is at the feet of mother, well, this translation says it, and that's what we're going to it. It says, stay with her, for paradise is beneath her feet. Here's another hadith of Muhammad that's important for this, that's critical, actually, for our understanding. And it's about jihad. Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa radiallahu an, on the days the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, faced the enemy in battle, he waited until the sun had set. Then he stood in front of the people. The Prophet said, that is, the Prophet stood up in front of the people. He said, O people, do not desire to meet the enemy, but rather ask Allah for safety. If you meet your enemy in battle, and we could even put the word but in front of that statement, because I'm just reading a translation. But if you meet your enemy in battle, be patient. And know that paradise is under the shade of swords. So here's a hadith, a sahih hadith, Bukhari and Muslim. It says, paradise lies under the shadow, under the shade of swords. But then the other hadith says, paradise lies at the feet of your mother. Why is it important to understand these together? Because you can understand both of them, inshallah, you understand both of them better when you understand what the context for the second one is actually set against the context of the first one. Because the Prophet had said that paradise is under the shade of swords and we're about to have to go into jihad. So someone says, I need to go to jihad since paradise is under the shade of swords. But obviously that person, that young man, had some questions, the very questions that we know, inshallah, without how do you say, fear of contradiction, that the Prophet understood why he was coming to ask the question. Because some people would come to the Prophet in instances, and before they could even get the question out, the Prophet would say, I know what you come to ask about. So here the person is asking a question, And the prophet understands the context in which the question is being asked and what would constitute khair, what would constitute what's best for that one. He asks him that in the context, right? The prophet says, do you have a mother? And probably when we read that verse in Arabic better, it would say, you know, are you the only child of the mother? And so when he said yes, the prophet said, stay with her. Because paradise is under her feet. So inject this now. Paradise for you is under her feet. So you don't have to go to jihad to get what you want. Paradise? Okay, here's the way you can get it. Paradise is under her feet. You'll see it if you haven't already. Those people that want to lie about al-Islam, they would say that, look, it's right there in the hadith, in Sahih hadith, and Bukhari and Muslim. They say those are the best ones. They said, and the prophet said, and paradise lays under the shades of swords. I told you they were warmongers. I told you they like war. I told you Islam was spread by the sword. There it is right there. No, out of context, even for the hadith that you're stealing from. Because the prophet says, don't seek to go into battle. Don't make that your summum bonum of being. Yeah, let's go to war. Like some people I know. He said, but if you have to go to war, then yeah, even that word, sabr, you can see saber in the word sabr. When you go, be patient. The translator says, patient may say, but have sabr. Meaning what? Persist. Fight hard. Don't be a coward. Don't retreat in means for purposes other than strategy. Because paradise lies under the shade of that sword that you had to raise up because, hey, look, I wasn't trying to fight you, but since you done put it there, let's go. All right. Now, what is the bearing for this on the woman? Because all of these subjects, this being number 10, all of the subject matter is pointing to or is addressing the significance of the woman. And that hadith is a very popular hadith in the world. Paradise lies at the feet of mother. That's what we say. That's how it's usually stated. But let's look at one portion of that hadith, which is itself sahih. It says, فَالْزَمَهَا, the prophet, after the person said that he did have a mother, na'am, then it says, قَالَ, then the prophet, that is, he said, فَالْزَمَهَا, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ, إِنَّ جَنَّةَ تَحْتَ الرُّجْلَهِ, تَحْتَ رِجْلَيْهَا, تَحْتَ رِجْلَيْهَا, says, فَالْزَمَهَا, فَالْزَمْهَا, stay with her. For the grammarians, you have the mutaaddin are the transitive verbs. And then you have lazim, which are the intransitive verbs. Transitive verbs mean that they require an object in order for their meaning to be really appreciated. The intransitive verb, the lazim, it means they don't have to go anywhere to have meaning. They already have meaning. So it says, فَلْزَمْهَا, it's from that, it has that same root in it. Stay. Don't go nowhere. Don't move. فَلْزَمْهَا, stay with her. Right? فَإِنَّ جَنَّةَ, for surely, جَنَّةَ تَحْتَ, that is, it's beneath, تَحْتَ, beneath رجليها, beneath her feet. Paradise is beneath her feet. One of the verses that we've used in the course of this talk is النساءكم حرف لكم. النساءكم حرف لكم. It says, and your women are cultivated earth to you. So النساء is حرف. Harf is earth. But it also has other meanings, which we've covered, and we may repeat some of them today. The idea is that to say that the paradise is beneath her feet is also bringing us back to harf, bringing us back to her nature. Her nature. Paradise lies in her nature. But you won't get it if you keep treating her like dirt. It says, رِجْلَيْهِ نَأْ تَحْتَ أَقْدَامَ أُمَّهَاتِ تَحْتَ أَقْدَامَ أُمَّهَاتِ. Now, I listened to two pieces today from sources that have value. Let's put it like that. Because you never want to say anything about people of knowledge that seems to disparage them. But, quote unquote, people of knowledge can be people of knowledge, but they can also make mistakes even if the object is not intended as such. And both that I listened to, one of them in an all-Arabic audio, and the other in both English and Arabic. May Allah have blessings, and may Allah bless them continually for the good that they do and have done. But they use different words than in the Sahih and called what they cited as the hadith munkar. Munkar is denounced. It means denounced. He says, "تَعْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ." That's what we're told. Enjoying what is right, forbid what is wrong. Right? Munkar. But what they cited as the hadith that was munkar, which therefore makes what they say true in the sense that, perhaps true in the sense that they said, because the hadith of the Prophet, at least this one from the Sunnah of Nisa'i, which is one of the Sahih Sit, it says, رِجْلَيْهِ, it does not say, تَحْتَ أَقْدَامَ أُمَّهَاتِ. It doesn't say that paradise lies beneath the أَقْدَام, the feet of mothers. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we are to accept this as sahih, it's from the Sunnah of An-Nasa'i, it says, رِجْلَيْهِ, تَحْتَ رِجْلَيْهِ, it's beneath her, رِجْلَيْهِ. Now that's the key in that. Because one of the cornerstones, or the cornerstone, for the whole series of conversations has been الرِّجَالُ قَوَّمُونَ أَلَى النِّسَاءِ. الرِّجَال, that's men. But it's also legs. It's also legs. أَقْدَام, feet. رَجْل, legs. So when the Prophet says, تَحْتَ رِجْلَيْهَا, it says that it's under her feet, or do you say it's under her legs? It's under her legs. Which sends a different meaning. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that he has been given jawami al-kalam. Jawami al-Kalam means that he has been given the ability to say in a few words what it would take volumes in time before his time to say. So when the Prophet says, and he says also, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, I have been given the Quran and something like it. I have been given the Quran and something like it. He says, I have been given the Quran and something like it. That is to say that the same nature in my words is like the nature of the words of the Quran. And when Aisha radiallahu anhu was asked, what is the life of the character of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, he is hu al-Quran yamshi. He is the Quran walking. So he's not the Quran when he's talking? Yeah, he's the Quran when he's walking, and he's the Quran when he's talking. That's not to push back on Aisha. I'm saying, let us understand the Quran walking means that includes, well, you've heard it. You know, man, you can't just talk to talk. You can't just talk to talk. You got to walk to walk, right? So that means that we don't even pay attention to you if you're talking to talk, but you're not walking to walk. Okay, well, the Prophet is walking the walk, and he's talking the talk. Of what? The Quran. All right. So alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Then here's how, you know, here's something that's going on. This inshallah will probably complete this portion. Inshallah. Allahu alam. I've let go of trying to be in charge of everything that happens up here. But I have to give you another hadith. So then, as meaning, in the context of that hadith, رِجْلَيْهَا إِنَّ جَنَّةَ رِجْلَيْهَا, surely the Jannah is under her legs. Right? And so, and the Prophet telling him, stay with her. Right? Then it has something to do with رِجْل. Rijal, and what Rijal is about is responsibility. Al-Rijal qawwamuna al-nisa. So, what's the message? Do what's best to establish your mother. Do what's best to protect your mother. Do what's best to secure your mother. Do what's best to please your mother. Okay? To that young man, that's what he's saying. That's your jihad. Do that, you're going to find Jannah in doing that. What does it say to men? It's the same message. The same message. Al-Rijalu Qawwamuna al-Nisa. Not only is a son supposed to do that for his mother, but a man is supposed to do that for his woman. That's what the verse says. Al-Rijalu Qawwamuna al-Nisa. Men are the establishers, the maintainers, the securers, the stabilizers. Because if I'm at your legs, then I'm making your legs stable. You're secure because that's what supports you. And I'm securing what supports you. And that boy is told, do what it takes to secure your mother. And when it says, Ar-Rijala Kawamuna al-Nisa, it's telling a man, do what's necessary to secure your woman. Like that's a, you know, that's a if I feel like it kind of thing. No, I'm telling you. I mean, as men, as a general rule, we're just so busted up because we really don't know how to be men. We think being a man is dressing up in a suit. I ain't got nothing against nobody in suits. Now, come on now. I just got something from my tailor. I'm going to hit y'all with that a little bit later. But, you know. And then when I say tailor, I say, oh, yeah, that's a problem. You spend all that money in the suits. No. The CPC suits that need to be cut up a little bit. I got a nice little Greek tailor. She handled my business in there. I'll be looking good, okay? But it was no expensive trip. But let me get away from that. some men, your undoing is because you look so good and you couldn't handle it. So you become narcissistic. You look in the mirror, look at me. Shoot, man, that'd be hitting right there. Yeah, she gonna love it. No. You're undone. She say, as the prophet taught us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Allah, as you have made me beautiful in my physical appearance, make me also beautiful in my morals and in my character. And one of the best ways to improve your morals and character, get married, stay married, respect the marriage the way that Allah would have you respect the marriage, and you will become a good man. Ask some who've been doing it. They'll tell you. And you'll know. So it's telling us, do what is best to establish your mother. Do what is best to establish the woman. That is your jihad. That is your jihad. And it's a jihad. Alhamdulillah. And it has, as Harith says, its reward, its gain, its benefit. It's something that you get for doing so. If we do this, inshallah, Allah will guide us to better. رَبَّنَا عَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسْنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسْنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. O Allah, give us the excellent things in this world and the excellent things in the world to come, and save us from the chastising of the fire. Ameen, Allahumma ameen. Allahu Akbar. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Here's another hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad ibn Sirin reported, radiallahu anhu, he said that the people were boasting to each other as to whether men or women would be a majority in paradise. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, verily, the first group to enter paradise will have faces as bright as the full moon at night. The next group will have faces as bright as shining stars in the sky. Every man will have two wives, and the marrow of their shanks, meaning their legs, the marrow of their shanks would glimmer beneath their skin, and there will be no one in paradise without a wife. I've just read the translation that they gave. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I read it because it's another point of clarification that we need. So first, another aspect is we have to learn how to read it in the original. I don't read it in the original or didn't read these in the original because I'm not as fluent in the reading as I would like to be. And because of the moment, I don't feel like practicing in front of you, let's put it like that. Not in this case and not at this time. However, it doesn't mean that I don't know how to read it and study Arabic for sure. MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. This is no boast. But let's walk back through some of this. So, move past the first part. First group into paradise, faces bright as a full moon. That has meaning that we won't dwell on. And the next group, they will have faces that shine like the stars. We'll pass that. What we're focused on for now is every man will have two wives. Start with that. Firstly, the natural proclivity, the natural low-level understanding, apprehension is like, oh, yeah, it's a polygyny in paradise or something like that. The two wives that are there is just like we said about seeing the figurative aspects of things and not thinking and focus on the concrete aspects of things is the most important way to get understanding for our life in this world. Every man should have two wives. I just want to leave that hanging there for a little while, just let it soak in and go where it's going to go, right? Yeah, every man should have two wives. One of those pairs, because there are a number of levels that it applies, one of those pairs should be first, you should marry yourself. And the next is apply your mind to be productive in creation. Make the universe your mate. You see, it goes both ways. The woman is a personification of the universe, and the universe is a personification of the woman. So if you come into, as Haratha says, if you investigate, if you scrutinize, if you examine, if you come into that intellectual relationship with the universe, that's where you're going to get the reward, the gain, the compensation, the treasure. You're going to get it by having a right relationship, the proper intellectual intercourse with the universe, and all the stuff you complain about you not having, there it is. You don't know how to make your mind with the creation. That's why you don't have what you should be having, because you're not using the intellect that God gave you and the mind that God gave you to come into the right relationship with the creation. Waiting for somebody to give you a job. It's good. Get a job. You got a job, keep the job. Okay, what I'm saying? Look, in terms of what Allah has to offer, he says, Sakhara lakum ma fis samawati wa ma fil ardh. I have given to everything in creation the nature to submit to you. But it's not going to submit to you until you meet the qualifications of being able to name what you're asking to submit to you. And that's how it is with the woman. A woman is not going to be for you what you think the woman should be for you until you demonstrate that you understand her nature. Act in accordance with that nature, you get Nathan. I'm sorry, I know that's kind of out of order. Allah, how is boss? Scientific philosopher says, the best way to get nature's obedience is to obey her. You want the woman to help you? You want the woman to be with you? You want the woman to be for you? You want the woman to be on your team? Come on now, listen now. I mean, if this was somewhere else, if it was Talib, I would ask, raise your hand if you got a teammate, but don't do it. Don't do it. But some of us know, I'm speaking for those guys and those women out there. Oh, what's that movie? The Don Cheadle movie, don't you understand? Don Cheadle and Taraji P. Henson. You need to go check that out. Talking about, like, do you see what I'm saying? She was on his team. When he show up, she go first. Announcing his arrival. I mean, that's a little exaggerated, because you don't have to do that. But I'm saying, once a woman is on your team, she'll surprise you. It comes like that, Abby? Like that. But how you get that? By obeying her. What do you mean obey her? It's in the same spirit of kunut. وَصَالِحَا تَقَانِتَا تَحَافِزَا لِلْغَيْبِ بِمَا حَافِزَ اللَّهِ in 34:4. That is 4th chapter, 34th verse. So the righteous women are devoutly obedient. Devoutly obedient to who? Allah. The kunut is for Allah. They are devoutly obedient to Allah. All right? So if the statement is saying
to obey, to the best way to get her obedience is to obey her, then if you follow the understanding, the meaning of this harafa, to investigate, to scrutinize, to examine, to look into, to call to mind, all that is in the meaning, and nisa'ukum harafum lakum. Your women should be an object of study for you. Looking at her, looking into her, paying attention to her, seeing how she does, why she does, what she does, when she does, what she does, and why does she do it to that magnitude? You need to examine her. You understand? Oh, when she, okay, when she's in that, then this is that. When she's in that, then this is that. Okay. Check your thesis. Check your hypothesis. She seems to like this. So let me make that move and stand back and see what happens. See, now, if you're in that mode, I don't care what to be woke. Hold up, just do what I say and we good. No, no. And that's why you're where you're at right now. You should know that don't work. And the next one, it ain't going to work. It might work for a little while as long as you need a roof over her head. I don't know if I'm talking too much. After she get what she's looking for, deuces, here she go. Okay? So listen, I tell you, I mean, yes, I'll say some funny things, but this ain't no joke. I got to put some levity in it because I see y'all got, she started getting quiet at some of the points. I said, well, if you were okay with where I was, I mean, weren't guilty, because a lot of it felt like guilt. It wasn't like, you know, what you talking about? No, it was like, like I'm in your Kool-Aid, you know? And I may be, mashallah, but I don't know nothing about you personally in that sense. But what I'm saying is that I put some levity in it so you can kind of lighten up, don't feel so bad, et cetera, et cetera. But listen, if you don't take what I'm saying seriously, and if you don't do what I'm talking about, man, you chuck out of luck, man. You good. If it ain't bad now, it's about to get bad. So, yes, and the Quran says it's good news, the Jummah. It's good news and it's a warning. Very important. So, all right, so let's go. So, every man will have two wives. So, that's just on the first order. So, and every man will have two wives. It can also apply to, you should have a wife that's your wife. It's wife. One, that's wife. And then going back again, the creation. That should be your wife too. You should be in a relationship with the creation that enables you to support the wife that you're married to. Those are the two wives. Let's keep going. I'm not finished. Those of you who join us on Saturday mornings, inshallah, we'll elaborate on this more. Saturday morning Blog Talk Radio. Inshallah. So every man will have two wives. Now what I want to just focus on in the few minutes that we'll take. Don't you want to think about? And the marrow of their shanks will glimmer beneath their skin. And the marrow of their shanks will glimmer beneath their skin. I read it just a third time. I'll say it translated. And the marrow of their shanks will glimmer beneath their skin. Obviously, not enough time to elaborate on this right here, right now, but I'll give you the principal idea, and Allah knows best. The first two groups that entered paradise, the first group came in, they were like the moon. They shine like the moon. Yes. The second group that came in, they shine like the stars. Is something missing or not? You connected with Abraham. Star, moon, sun, right? So the sun is missing. Over here, he says, here's the male shining. What's shining? The marrow of their shank will glimmer beneath their skin. What's the shank? Y'all know about lamb shanks, right? It's the bone, and marrow takes you automatically to bone. So what's shining? The marrow is shining. It's the marrow of the shank that's shining beneath their skin. What's bone? Bone is logic. Bone is what gives the thing its structure. Do you understand that the laws of creation are the bones of the universe? The creation exists as it exists because of the bones of its principles and laws that keep it functioning, kunut, in the way that it functions. So to learn about the laws and principles of creation is to also learn about kunut. And to learn about kunut is to learn about the woman. And when you get the insight into the logic of what makes a woman, now you've got something going on. But as long as you're dumb about women, you miss me with the dumb stuff. Just I'll say it for you. I know you want to tell them.
Well, you heard me, ma'am, right?
And look, I ain't trying to make enemies, and like I say, you know, I may tell some jokes, may say something funny, but it ain't no joke. So how do you get to paradise? Yeah, you know, like how you get to Carnegie Hall, right? Practice, practice, practice. How do you get to paradise with two wives? The science of their nature. Oh, that's kind of a stretch. That's that old WD stuff, bro. What y'all talking about, man? Yeah, okay. It's that too, alhamdulillah. But if you can read Arabic, go look up the word for marrow of the shank. Mekko. Meem kaf shadda damma. Dammatain, better said. Mekko. Make sure I got it absolutely right. Mekko. Mekko. Meem damma. So it's Mekko. Kha shadda damma. Mekko. And what does that mean? Among its many meanings, brain. Brain. When your brain grasps the science of the logic of the nature of the woman, Haratha. I want to try to keep connecting with these. These are not coming out of left field. These are all things that have been brought in by reference to other things in the other verses. So how you get to paradise? Understand the science of the woman and obey it. And as we began in the opening verse, it says, and the creation, the khalq, says the form. That's what khalq is talking about. Khalqa sawa qadr hada. And the form, the khalq. The form, in the form is the guidance. In the form of the skies and the earth, it's a bigger matter than man. So, let this just be an encouragement for today. Man, stop being ignorant about women. And don't go to Iceberg Slim or Dolomite or whoever. Don't go to them for advice. Don the Magic Wand or whoever. Don't go to them, please. All right? Go to the Quran. Go to science. Go to what Allah's prophet has said. Study it. Practice it. Come on now. I know you're ready for me to be quiet. I'm ready to be quiet and pray. I'm ready. But look, I know there's a lot of things you practice. Some of y'all practice music. Some of you practice chess. Some of you practice video games. Some of you practice golf. Some of you practice tennis. Some of you practice whatever. To study the woman and try out. And the prophet has told us what science tells you. Try it out. What works? See what doesn't work. Get it better and better. And see if paradise doesn't come out of that. A taste of it in this world. Stop treating woman like she doesn't matter. In fact, if you understand what I've just said, she is all matter.
Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayy al-qayyum la ta'khudhu sinatan wa la nawm lahu ma fi as-samawati wa ma fi al-ard man dhal ladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi'idhnihi ya'lamu ma bayna aydihim wa ma khalfahum wa la yuhituna bi shay'in min 'ilmihi illa bima sha'a wasi'a kursiyyuhu as-samawati wa al-ard wa la ya'uduhu hifdhuhuma wa huwa 'aliyyul 'azim alhamdulillahi rabbil 'alamin. Pardon me, but so as not taking any more time, remind you again, there's a men's meeting tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. To 8:30. Also, there's available Sister Karima. Karima, I think she's fondly known as Karima. That's her name, Karima. I believe Rashid is her last name. In any case, there are DVDs available for the wonderful presentation that she did. They're available in New Africa. Is distributing those or selling those. Also, I believe there are calendars available as well. Also, this weekend is the annual health and wellness that we look forward to dinner. It's the Hajj dinner. It's the Hajj dinner. The health and wellness hosts the Hajj dinner. And so what time is it? I don't have a flyer in front of me. It's from 3 to 6? 3 to 6 Sunday? More? 3 to 6 on Sunday, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. So we look forward to that. All the support and help, et cetera. And I believe we make donations there. There's no door price, right? If you come, but then you are asked to make a contribution in support of the entity itself, alhamdulillah. So we look forward to hearing from the Hujaj, who have made the journey this year. And for those of you who have made the journey, it's always a wonderful reunion to come and spend time and be reminded and reminisce on some of those wonderful experiences that you've had, if you have made Hajj, and in turn to be motivated to make Hajj if you haven't already done so. So I thank you for your time, your patience. May Allah forgive us our shortcomings and our errors. God's peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. La ilaha illallah, Sayyidi Muhammad. If there's a gap, step into the gap. All that speaks to the principles of al-Islam. If there's something that needs to be done in front of you, it means do it. That's why we fill in the gaps. Don't make the person next to you feel uncomfortable. Your legs should be in a balanced space, not unnecessarily extended or running from the touching the foot of the other person to make them have to do so. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm Ad-Din. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والضحى وليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قالا وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولا سوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فأواه ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمدا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانتب وإلا ربك فارغب. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمدا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. ذكر الله سبحان الله. الحمد لله. الله أكبر. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم له لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض لا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. استغفر الله. الحمد لله. Is Kareem Anari here? Is she? Karima, raise your hand. Where you at? Homegirl coming home. Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. As you say, also, her brother is in, or I don't know if they made it back yet, but he just made a major Umrah instructional trip with about 45 people. Imam Wazir Ali, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin. Welcome, Karima, ahlan, assalamu alaikum.